We tonight have a special treat. Sister Rosalie Rehnquist is here, and she's one of our missionaries, our many missionaries that we support. She's very faithful to correspond back with us. She's been with us a score of times, I suppose. That's the second time she's got to come since I've been here as a pastor, and we're honored to have her tonight. And I prepared to give her time in the service tonight to speak to us about the language translation. And all day long, the Lord's been working on me with a little thought. And I thought, no, I'm not going to preach that tonight. I'm going to let Sister Rehnquist speak to us about what's going on, God said. And I came in tonight, I spoke with her. As I come back around the building, God said, I want you to get ready to preach. And I said, now, Lord, I don't know if I can let that go or not. And the Lord said, I want you to preach. He had a man call me this afternoon from San Diego County, California. Started talking to me about the Lord and about ministry out of this church. And I got on the internet, started looking today. I think there were 5 messages downloaded, one of them from China. I downloaded a message from our pulpit in China, listened to it in Beijing, China, and 4 other places across the United States today. And I know that's not many, but it's 5 that I wouldn't have got to preach to before because y'all are willing to give and get the message out. And so 5 people today got to hear the gospel. And this brother called me out of San Diego, and he said, I just feel led to pray with you. And I'm telling you what, he prayed glory down on the phone. And it's got me all disturbed and motivated, and I can't hardly let not preaching go tonight. And I feel led to be obedient all the time. And when they got up and sang that song, Sister Anita and Brother Gene, when they got up and sung that song about the victory is mine and victory is sweet, I got to thinking about what we've been talking about, David, all this time. And I want to look at just 6 verses, and I'm going to get out of the way, and you're not going to leave. You're going to stay and listen to Miss Rehnquist, okay? All right? I sat there and debated. I said, Lord, I'll let her speak first, and I'll come after. God said, when they sung that song, he said, right now. I said, well, don't pray, don't do anything. He said, right now. We've already had prayer on the phone on the way over here. Don't you do a thing. You get on up there and you share it. Now understand, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, that old David is a man who has been living in Israel, but Saul's chased him and he's left his home country. He's left the godly people and he went out to the world and started living with the Philistines. He's been out there for 16 months, that's a long time, living with the ungodly people. But when he comes to fight with them, and he lines up to fight with God's people, can you believe that? Going to fight his own people. When he lines up with them, the Philistine lords reject him. So here he has been rejected by his own country, and now he's rejected by the camp of the Philistines. You see that? And now he's on his way back, and he thinks, you know, nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. I've been rejected by my own country, rejected by the enemy camp. What have I got to turn to? And he's just real down. And we got to thinking last week, I remember, about a man who's trying to live in both worlds. You know, the godly world and the ungodly world. He won't have a real home. He can't. He's trying to straddle the fence, so to speak, right? Can't have a real home. Well, they start returning home. The Bible says in chapter number 30, he says, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the 3rd day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. You see, David and his 600 men had been living in Ziklag, along with their families, their wives, and their children. They'd been living in Ziklag, which was, at that point in time, a Philistine city. And David had been traveling with his men for 3 days. And it's about 75 miles away from where he had left. So he's probably done about 25 miles a day, not in a Cadillac, not in a Toyota. He's come 25 miles a day, and they're traveling there. Can you imagine? They're on their way home, and they've got a certain excitement about, boy, you know, we're tired. We've been walking 25 miles. We've been rejected. We're disappointed. We're on our way home, and now they're weary. And the Bible says, verse 2, they had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and they went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Can you imagine? Here they are, weary and worn and traveling all this way and dejected, despondent. They come up the road and they notice in the distance. I told my wife today something strange I saw. We were driving down the road today and I looked and I know she said, "What are you looking at?" We went back around a little corner there and I kept looking and we came out and I said, "Huh, that's weird. I thought I saw smoke." I told her that. She said, "What?" I said, "I know I saw smoke, but it's disappeared." Those men, the Lord showed me that today to get me thinking about those men were on their way home expecting to see their wives and family and experience the comforts of home. Amen? When they look in the distance, there's smoke rising up. Not the smoke from a campfire, not the smoke from the stoves that they would have been cooking on, but the smoke from the city in which they dwelled in had been burnt to the ground with fire. They noticed something else, I believe. There was no children that normally they'd run out and greet the men as they returned from battle. "Hey, Daddy, hey, Captain David." But no children were there to greet them. They knew something tragic was going on. They knew something was bad, bad, wrong. And that's my point tonight. David was deeply distressed. Now, he and his men have come and they notice this fire and nobody's there to greet them. And when they get there, they notice the city's not only burnt, but their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. And they didn't know what exactly had happened to them. They knew they'd been taken. They didn't know by whom. They didn't know if they were taken and murdered. They had no idea. They just noticed there was no corpses laying in the camp. And there was no survivors in the camp. Just David and his men. Now, can you imagine? Here they are. They've been out of the will of God, right? They've lined up with the enemy, and the enemy don't want them. They've been out of the will of God. And while they've been out of the will of God, as they start back for the land of the Philistines, and David should have went back home to Israel, but when he comes back, he's lost everything that he had. All seems lost. Might be somebody tonight, under the sound of my voice. Wrong seems right, and right seems wrong. Basically, all seems lost in your life tonight. All the comforts of home are gone. All their substance gone. Their homes burnt to the ground. All their women, their wives, gone. Their children, sons and daughters. Heard Brother Paul get up and talk about a grandson there a minute ago. And about his daughter. What if it's gone tonight, Brother Paul? You'd been out with me. Captain David went out fighting a godless battle. And you come home, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, all gone. All gone. Home burnt. Ain't got a thing left. Ain't that something? All this time, David, 16 months, been living in spiritual decline. They've ignored the warning of God time and time again. And we said sooner or later, God's going to send his wake-up call. There it is, smoking. Burnt completely to the ground. The Bible says that in verse 4, "Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep." Friend, I'm going to tell you, this was not the rejoicing kind of weeping. You know, we've done a lot of that around here. Rejoicing in the blessings of God and in the harvest of God and the goodness of God. And come down here and prayed much and cried a lot of tears because God blessed us as good as he has when we don't deserve a thing. He's blessed us in spite of who we are. Oh, praise God for that. But I ain't the kind of weeping they're weeping. They're weeping because all is lost. They're weeping because they knew they were out of the will of God and the chastising hand of God had fallen upon them. That's why they're weeping. I want to say that here's David and 600 warriors. I'm talking about big old brawny, burly men that are crying and weeping like babies. And the Bible says that they wept so much that no longer did they have the power to weep. What about that? Because they knew they were out of the will of God. And David, he wasn't exempt from this situation. The Bible said David's two wives were taken captives. Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. And the Bible in the superlative used the word greatly. I believe every word of God is pure and is inspired by God. He could have said David was distressed, but instead he said he was greatly distressed. What about that? And not only does all seem lost to David, but you can look around and say, "Well, David, you still have the support of your friends.
You still have the 600 men that you went out to battle with. They're still behind you. Been time and time again when I've been heard about some situation or someone had a hardship with me and tried to get things straightened out and I couldn't seem to get it done and I wept much and went down the altar and I've had people come and wept with me and prayed with me and I've even had folks that patted me on the back and said, well, at least you have the support of the church. At least the majority of the church is behind you. And I know that that was a comfort to me. For some reason, not a lot, but a little. It all seemed lost at times. But for David and his 600 men, somebody could pat him on the back and say, David, at least you still got your men. At least you still got their support. But I can't find anybody that's even going to pat him on the back. For the Bible says David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, his own men, that God had sent to him. You know, the discontented, the distressed, those that were in debt, those that God had sent, began to turn on David. David, their captain. David, their leader. David, who they were going to stand up and kill Saul for. Now they've turned on him. They began to speak about stoning him. You know, they're saying, if it wasn't for David, we'd have been back home at Ziklag. We'd have been protecting our wives and our families. And when the Amalekites would have come up here, we would have defeated them. And I know what else. Back there in chapter 27, this comes to me. Back in chapter 27, when old David began to backslide. In verse number 8, the Bible said that old David, he became a robber and a thief. What, preacher, he did? Oh, yeah. In verse number 8, David and his men went up. And they invaded the Geshurites, the Gezrites, and the Amalekites. What about that? For those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even to the land of Egypt. David smote the land. He left neither man nor woman alive. He took away the sheep, the oxen, the asses, the camel, the apparel, and returned, and he came to Achish. What did David do? He had attacked himself, the Amalekites, which was his natural enemy, and he killed all of them that were within camps. Now I realize there's more than one camp of the Amalekites. But he would come to one camp and he'd annihilate all of them. And when he comes home to Ziklag and he sees smoke, families missing, his men speaks of stoning him, it comes to his mind. I wonder if this is some of the attacks that are retaliating for the stand we've made. The enemy will try to retaliate when you make a stand. You stand up, make a testimony in this church. Oh, how I love Jesus. The devil's going to come after you. Amen. He's going to come. I don't make the devil happy to hear you stand up and testify. Or you say, you may say in your life, I'm going to stake this piece of ground in my life for Jesus Christ. The devil's going to come. He's going to come roaring, don't you think for a second the enemy's not going to retaliate. But I want to tell you what, just like they sang, the battle's not mine. And this battle's not yours. It belongs to God if you belong to Him. And I want to say to Him in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you get victory over the battle you're fighting, victory is sweet. Certainly when David looks around and his own men are speaking of stoning him, said, you know, he led us in those attacks. We raided and killed all those people. Now they've retaliated. Man, I wish we'd have never went down there and started with the enemy. Oh, David, can you believe what he's done to us? I'm telling you, I remember back there when Saul was told to kill a certain nation. All of them. Samuel said to him, you know who it was? The Amalekites. But Saul said, that's a bad idea. Let's keep a few of them alive as trophies. Let's spare some of them. And here they are, still standing against the people of God. So let's read verse 6 again. David is greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Can you imagine the distress of all these people? They were ready to throw him out and stone him and have him killed. All is lost. Doesn't seem he has anything left except one thing. He still got the Lord. Yeah, but David that was wayward, David that was backslid, David that didn't think about the things of God, he had, man, I'm telling you what, if anybody was wrong, he was wrong. He was even willing to stand and help fight with the enemy. He's backslid. How in the world could God put his loving arms around him and then try to help him out? Because God is merciful. and he's long-suffering. He's loving and he is forgiving. All that's left is the Lord. And you know what God knew? That he had to strip David of everything he had to get his attention. The Bible says every one of those people, they were grieved for every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. When I say that we see distress, we also see, second of all, discernment. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Backslid, yep. Carnal, yep. Stubborn, out of the will of God, yep. All those things. But he encouraged himself in the Lord. Let me say this to you, for somebody here that thinks you have to earn God's blessing, that you have to do certain things to achieve the blessings of God. What had David done to achieve the blessing? Anybody got an answer for me? Huh? All he had done is backslid. All he had done is been about the flesh and going his own self way and his own self will. He'd ignored God's blessings, didn't care about them. What had David done to achieve the blessing of God? Nothing. Might be somebody else here. So, well, I'm waiting for the preacher to get up and strengthen me. In the midnight hour when the problem comes in your life, the preacher may not be around and he might not be there to strengthen you. I'm going to tell you what, the preacher won't strengthen you for long because that'll run out. But let me tell you what, if you would just take God's strength that is at all times available, his strength's available tonight. His strength is always available. His strength never runs out. It cannot be exhausted. Ain't that a blessing? I mean, you can get up and work hard 10 hours a day and come home wore out. What about that? You can go on, some of you go on vacation and come back wore out and need a vacation to get over vacation. Because your strength runs out, amen? Yeah, but the strength of God, praise the Lord, does not run out. And it's always available. And David says, I'm going to claim that. He encourages himself in the Lord. How did he do that? I think he saw God's love. What? I think he saw it. What do you mean, preacher? He's lost his family. He's lost everything he's got. He ought to be blaming God. Where was God when Ziklag got burned? Where was God when my family got taken away? He said, God's been good to me. He's been merciful. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to bleed and die myself. But God saw fit to love me. David realizes, he says, son, you've been foolish. I was going to join the enemy and fight the people of God. God knows all about it. And it wasn't the Philistines that voted me out and outnumbered me. It was really God that stopped me right in my tracks, right where I was, to keep me from going any further. I see the love of God in that. And that blessed him. And then I think he saw God's calling. He began to remember back there how that Samuel came and looked for a king. And he came to Jesse's house and all the boys came out and God said, it ain't one of them. And he said, Jesse, the man of God said, Jesse, do you have any more boys? He said, yeah, I got one, but he's watching the sheep. He didn't even call him by name. He didn't even say his name is David. He said, go fetch him. Okay. And when he came in, God said, that's him. That's the one I've chosen. That's the one I've called. How won't you take a horn of oil? Now remember, old Saul was anointed with a vial of oil. You can drop a vial and it'll be broken. But that horn, it's made of God. It's anointed of God, right? Pour that oil on him, can't be broken. God's established him as king and he's called him. And I think old David remembered. I remember how God anointed me and how God poured that oil over on top of me and saturated, run down my beard. Oh, how good God's been to me. Hey, you remember how God saved you? You remember how he's blessed you? I mean, all seems lost and up seems down and everything seems wrong in your life. But I want you to remember that God saw fit to save your wretched soul when you were yet in your sins. And I don't care how wrong you've messed up. He still loves you tonight. You can encourage yourself in that and see the love of God in it. And see his calling on your life. I think he remembered God's promise. God told me I was going to be the next king. Hey, God made us a promise. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Even when you backslide, even when you're wayward, even when you've gone your own way, the Lord's right there. You just come to him. Turn to him. That's all he wants. He remembered God's promise. You remember God's promise? He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. What about his promise that when you get saved,
by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're on your way to heaven.
A lot of us sit around the church premises like we're bankrupt and heaven's bankrupt and God don't love us no more. But God has made me and you some holy, precious promises that He will make good on. A God that would preserve His Word for thousands of years, my friend, will preserve your salvation. Praise the Lord. Not only that, but I believe you remember God's deliverance. He sees smoke going up. Family gone, men crying, ready to stone him. And he begins to encourage himself in the Lord and said, you know, Lord, I remember how you loved me. And I remember how you called me. And Lord, I want you to know I remember how you've made me promises. But Lord, I remember how you've delivered me before. I remember back there when I was watching the sheep and there was a lion roared against them. And I remember how you strengthened me. My bare hands killed that lion because you blessed me. And then the bear came, and I said, if God can kill a lion, He can kill a bear. And the bear was destroyed. And then there was a man about 9 foot something tall, Lord, that was down in the valley a cussing the people of God. And I remember I went down there, didn't even put no armor on. And I went in the name of the Lord and took a little sling and a rock and I threw it, God. And the Holy Ghost got hold of it and hit him right between the eyes and dropped him. And you even I stood on top of him and didn't know what to do. And God said, take your sword and chop off his head. And I cut that giant down. God, I remember when Saul threw the javelin, it missed me because you caused it to be that way. I remember how many times you delivered me out of the hands of Saul. And God, I've been so foolish for 16 months as to think I could go my own way. He began to encourage himself in the Lord. You see, when he came to his wit's end, he wasn't to his face's end. Faith will keep on going when your wits run out, amen? When it don't appeal to your reason no more and you can't figure it out, just keep stepping on, following him by faith. Watch what he'll do. I want to say to you tonight as I close, you just need to trust God by faith. He encouraged himself in the Lord. You waiting on a preacher to encourage you. You waiting on the deacon to encourage you. You can encourage yourself. The joy of the Lord is your strength if you'll just take His word. Take His promises. Remember and see the things He's done for you. How He called you and saved you and delivered you time and time again. And He's not deserted you tonight. No, no, no. So I want you to be encouraged, friend. Victory's sweet if you'll turn to Jesus. This battle's not yours. It belongs to God. Amen. You stand to your feet tonight. I'm done. Say, praise God. That's a miracle. You bow your head tonight. Might be somebody here to say, preacher, I'm not asking you to come to the altar. I know you could and would and all that stuff, but I'm just asking you just by a show of hands. Look, preacher, you know what? They have been times just recently. I don't know why. I mean, I know all those things you're preaching, but preacher, the devil has me just convinced that all seems lost. God sees those hands. Put them up. Put them right back down. Look all over the house. Glory to God. Preacher, it seems like all seems lost so many times. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Say, preacher, I just want to admit, it seems like all's lost. Praise the Lord. It seems like it's hopeless. I sometimes feel like I'm just ready to give up, preacher. You can put them up and just put them right back down. Nobody's looking. Anybody else? You put them right back down. Praise the Lord. Amen. God sees that hand. Yeah, He sees that hand too. Anybody else? Boy, there's been a lot of hands raised. Well, preacher, I've been distressed and all seems lost. But you need discernment tonight to look back and see His promises and the precious things He's done in your life. Boy, He's brought you a long way already, hasn't He? I'm telling you what it is by the grace of God you stand here tonight. It is by His infinite mercy that you're even in this place tonight, the house of God, to hear this message preached. You know what? I didn't come in here necessarily to even share this, but God said, I want you to tell them because I've got who I want here to hear this tonight. Ain't God good? He knows what He's doing. And I want to ask you, would you encourage yourself in the Lord? Go back to the Word of God. Go back to your knees and keep praying. Go back and keep serving Him by faith. Get faithful about some things. Those things you staked out and claimed in your life. I'm telling you what, stand there and ask God to help you stand for His glory and watch what He'll do. God saw every hand that was in this building raised tonight. And I believe tonight because you humbled yourself under His authority, He's going to help you. If you'll encourage yourself in Him, watch what He'll do. He'll give you victory. And you know what you're going to find out? when you've been down and crying and weeping and you can't cry no more. That victory's sweet. Oh, we see the little picture, but he's got a great big picture. Oh, it's a blessing. Lord, tonight as we bow ourselves before you, we thank you. God, that you've allowed us to look into a portion of your word. God, we thank you for your ministering spirit, Father, that leads us and guides us and speaks to our heart. Lord, I pray for every hand that was raised tonight, God. Certainly the devil's trying to convince people of different things and different aspects in their life. But God, I'm glad that you came by tonight to say, you can encourage yourself in me. You can look at me and see my love. You can look to me and see my calling, see my promise, see how I've delivered you, and I'll do it again. Oh, God, help us then right where we are to say, Lord, we're sorry. We're sorry for doing our own thing. And tonight, God, we've raised our hand and asked for your help. We're going to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Lord, we don't deserve to live. God, the circumstances are bad. But God, I know that you that can do all things, nothing too hard for you, you can straighten this out and you can turn this trial into a blessing. Lord, I pray you do it. In Jesus' precious name we pray and ask. Amen. And amen.